Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, glory to God. We are excited tonight about being in the presence of the Holy Spirit. There is an anointing in the sanctuary of your heart. We greet you with love, peace, and kindness, and we just thank God for you being here this evening. This is Prophetess Teresa Dox, and I am excited about God tonight, excited about bringing my pastor to you, sharing him with you, for truly we want to welcome you to the broadcast tonight, where God is getting not just some of the glory, but all of the glory, where thou kingdom come. And guess what? You can come just as you are, and you will not leave the same. So we're very thankful to God that we're able to give back unto God's people. So get your Bibles ready. Get ready to take this flight with us as Apostle Emmons pour into God's people. And you know what? As I think about the assignment that God gives us, how he entrusts us to pour into others. So we want you to get prepared as we're getting prepared ourselves to be perfected in the things of God, where you can lay down your burdens, for in the sanctuary, God is here. So be blessed with the music, and we will be saying a word of prayer, and the next voice you would hear will be our own Apostle Leonard Emmons, the pastor of Living Way Christian Center, 235 West 40th Avenue in the city of Gary, Glory, Indiana. We want to call it Glory, Indiana. So be blessed with the music, and we will be right back. That he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So no matter what we go through, we know that God is always with us. That alone can give us that push to keep pressing in to the things of God. For we don't lose when we use what God gives us. Well, Father, we thank you. We thank you for this awesome day that you've given us. We thank you, Father, for this line that you've given us, an international teaching, preaching prayer line, God. Father, we just thank you for Apostle Emmons. We pray, Lord God, that you bless him in abundance. You bless his family. You bless Living Way Christian Center. And, Father, you even bless, Lord God, everything that is in his heart to do, Father. Father, we ask you that for a fresh anointing, fresh fire, God. Father, as he go forth to your people, open up our ear gates so that we may be able to hear what you're saying to your people, to your church, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you as you satisfy him with good things. You satisfy him, God, Lord God, with a fresh fire, fresh anointing. As he go forth, Lord God, you speak through him. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we say amen, amen, and glory to your wonderful, matchless name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Apostle Emmons.
Praise God. Good evening. How are you, woman of God? Glory to God. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord for Kingdom Builders International, Kingdom Daughters. Praise God for you, Prophetess. I trust and pray everything is well with you and your husband, Quentin. Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen.
We also,
wonderful.
Wonderful, wonderful. Praise God. Well, again, it is indeed a blessing and a privilege to be with Kingdom Builders tonight. And we trust and pray that the Lord has been faithful, especially in the minds of those under the sound of my voice. One thing about it, we do know that the Lord is faithful, whether we can perceive that or understand that. And so, again, we praise God for the faithfulness of the Lord. Amen. At this time, I'd just like to continue in agreement with you in your prayer and just say praise God. And we pray that, again, everyone under the sound of my voice would just yield to the fresh fire and the glory of God that is with us doing this broadcast. We pray God's blessing upon you, Prophetess, and your husband, Quentin, and all of the Kingdom Builders International, those that are with us now. We pray that the power of God would be released. We trust that the blood of Jesus is indeed our covering, and we decree God's banner of love over all of us tonight. Hallelujah. It is indeed a pleasure and a privilege to be with you in doing this broadcast, and we just now just settle ourselves, and we set ourselves even in the presence of God by the blood of Jesus. The Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus has a voice, that the blood of Jesus speaks of better things than the blood of Abel. And so we set ourselves in agreement with the blood of the Lord Jesus, even as it ministers grace to us tonight. Hallelujah. We'd like for you to turn in your Bibles over to the fourth chapter of Mark. 2 weeks ago, we were in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And this is the corresponding chapter, actually, with the 13th chapter of Matthew, where we have the numerous parables that Jesus spoke to his people. And tonight, we want to glean something out of this corresponding chapter talking about parables. We'd like for you to look at, again, the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, and we'll look at verse 9, and it says, "And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without are these things I said, all these things are done in parables. But unto you that are without, all these things were done in parables. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Look at verse 13. This is quite a statement that the Lord makes. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? Jesus makes a point to let them know that unto them it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. I'd like you to turn over to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Verse 1, it says, and I, brethren, when it came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Again, 2 weeks ago, we a conversation centered on you and I wasting everything that we have to buy the field that possessed the greatest treasure that there ever was. And I tried to present a case that we need to do everything to invest everything we have in that treasure that's hidden. And the treasure is hidden from everyone who does not have eyes to see. And yet it is God that opens our eyes to see the greatest treasure. Here in 1 Corinthians, Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. This indeed is the greatest treasure, and yet the greatest mystery. Jesus Christ is the greatest treasure, and yet the greatest mystery. We want to discuss that. We want to talk about that. The greatest treasure, and yet the greatest mystery. We live in this wonderful technological age. Up to this point in time, regardless of what your perspective might be, and I feel so privileged and I feel so appreciative that the Lord has birthed me into the earth for such a time as this, to be alive in the greatest time in the history of the world. And yet, things, heavenly things, supernatural things, glorious things, are yet hidden. We know knowledge is increasing in the earth rapidly. we have so much, and yet seemingly we have so little, especially as we weigh the things in the natural with the things of the spirit. Paul said, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Yet Jesus himself is the greatest treasure that there ever was and ever will be, and yet he's the greatest mystery." When we start to value Jesus, first of all, if we're really honest with ourselves and honest with each other, we come to the place where we realize that we can't put a value. It's impossible to put a value on the greatest thing, if you will. Yet Jesus, of course, is not a thing. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not being disrespectful or dishonoring. I pray that you understand that. But as we compare the Lord, it is something outstanding to, first of all, to compare. There's no way of comparing. If we really have the appropriate value or the appropriate way to value the Lord Jesus, he's the greatest commodity. He's the greatest treasure that there is. And yet he's the ultimate mystery. I mean, he's a mystery, and yet he's not. The Bible tells us that our Jesus, those of us that are born again, those of us that are saved, birthed into the kingdom of God by the Holy Spirit, those of us that are God's children, that have yielded our lives to the Lord, we know God. And yet we are yet discovering who the Lord is. Paul said, "For I have determined to know him." And yet we look at Paul even many years later from where he wrote this particular epistle to his last one that he wrote. The book of Philippians tells us, he said that, "For I want to know him." So even though Paul had a working knowledge, an experiential knowledge, I mean, he experienced God. He's a man that was knocked off of his horse on the road to Damascus, who spoke with the Lord audibly, who was blinded for numerous days, and supernaturally he received his sight. He's a man, the Apostle Paul, who was stoned to death, who had an heavenly supernatural encounter and experience. He went to heaven and came back. He's a man that saw the very glory of God. And yet, at the end of his campaign, his assignment, he says, "I want to know him." In the Amplified Version, verse 2, it says, praise God. Listen to what the Amplified, I love the Amplified Version, as you know. By now you should. "For I resolve to know nothing, to be acquainted with nothing, to make a display of the knowledge of nothing, and to be conscious of nothing." Now, I guess, you know, the Amplified Version, I really, again, one reason why I love the Amplified Version, because of the flavor the expository expression and understanding. It says, for I resolve to know nothing. I want you to listen to this. To be acquainted with nothing. To make a display of the knowledge of nothing. Have you ever studied nothing? I mean, the value of nothing. And to be conscious of nothing among you except Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and Him crucified. Now, when you value Jesus, when you attempt to value Jesus and weigh, compare, evaluate, and you set to appropriate the fullness of who Jesus is, and you weigh Jesus to everything, and yet you weigh Jesus to even what's nothing. Paul has said, for I determined not to know anything or nothing among you save Jesus and Him crucified. 2 weeks ago I asked, have you wasted everything that you know of, that you have, so that you can purchase the essence of everything? Jesus himself is everything. And yet He is shrouded in a mystery. I mean, let's face it, you and I both know that our lives is like a maze sometimes. As we grasp for this knowledge and as we cry out to God for that knowledge and God's wisdom and God's understanding, look at what He said further in verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, Jesus Himself is the epitome. He is the absolute essence of what everything is. He's the glory of what life is and what life can be. And yet He has shrouded Himself in mystery, in a mystery, in mysterious language. Those of you that are with us in this broadcast, you know your salvation wasn't something that you orchestrated. It wasn't something that you manipulated. It wasn't something that you forced your way into. Your salvation, your deliverance, your born-again experience was all unveiled as a mystery. Even today, if you are really honest with yourself, you know that you could not have ordered it the way it happened. Your intellect as a human being could not have appreciated the very worth and the value that your life represents. Regardless of what and how things have develop for you, the value of your life as a child of God, the essence of who you are and what you are in the kingdom, it's all shrouded in a mystery. Look at verse 6, again, the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught or nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, obviously, it is very explicit here as we read this. God's wisdom is light years beyond. It is so vast that even the demonic world has no clue. Yeah, we know that Satan and his cohorts know things, but they are light years behind God. Please allow that to settle in your heart, even as you make a futile attempt of trying to understand even your life and what you're going through. In the economy of God, the kingdom of God is light years away, even from your enemy, Satan. Even though it appears that the enemy has you on lockdown, I pray that you really do some earnest meditation and that you allow the value of what you have in Jesus. Maybe you haven't quite come to understand the mystery of your born-again experience, the mystery of who you are in Christ, the mystery of who Jesus is to you. Maybe you don't quite get it or perceive the very value of the precious pearl that you possess now by faith, the very treasure that Jesus is. Dear brother, dear sister, I mean the Lord, the Father, is beckoning us to come and to just rest in his presence. The full value of who you are and what you are in the earth and the kingdom of God. You have purchased by the mercy of God the very wealth of all eternity is found in Christ Jesus. And yet it is shrouded in a mystery. The mystery that you have, and that mystery is accessible in a hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto your glory, my brother, your glory, my sister. Look what it says in the Amplified Version here in this second chapter of Corinthians. Verse 6. I want you to appreciate verse 5, though. So that your faith, what you really trust in, might not rest in the wisdom of men, human philosophy, but in the power of God. I mean, the Bible tells us about the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Verse 6, I'm reading from the Amplified. Yet when we are among the full grown, the spiritually mature Christians who are right in understanding. That's what God wants all of us to be, right in understanding. We do impart a higher wisdom, a higher wisdom. See, that is what I'm hoping that the Lord rains upon us tonight. That the cloud of the glory God, the glory cloud with settle upon us, fall upon us, and bring us into a place of revelation, divine knowledge, revealed knowledge shrouded in the very mystery of God, who God is. Father, cause the cloud of your glory to descend upon us like dew. Cause your glory cloud to fall upon us. Lord, cause the essence of the supernatural, the power of God, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit, fall upon us. Bring us to that place where we're awed by the simplicity of your wisdom, where we're awed by the simplicity of the mystery of God. We're not talking about men's wisdom, which is based upon the philosophies and learned knowledge. Lord God, tonight, quicken us by the Holy Spirit to be spiritually mature Christians that are ripe in understanding. Verse 6, when we are among the full-grown, spiritually mature Christians who are ripe in understanding, we do impart a higher wisdom, the knowledge of the divine plan previously hidden, but it is indeed not a wisdom of the present age or of this world, nor of the leaders and rulers of this age who are being brought to nothing and are doomed to pass away. As we compare spiritual things with spiritual things, and even the natural things with the spirit realm, we have to be fully open to the reality that the very best of the natural realm is superseded by the spiritual realm. Please recognize, remember now, the natural realm was birthed by the spiritual realm, the spirit realm. As much as the natural realm is significant, real, it is not the most significant. That's why we have to do what we can to value the spirit realm. Or let me say it another way. That's why we need to be like Paul and fully value knowing Jesus, recognizing the value that Jesus possesses, which is, it's scandalous to think about. The creator of the world, the creator of the universe. The absurdness, the utter ridiculousness, it's just incredible. As we value Jesus, as we esteem him, as we find the fullness and the wealth of who the Lord is compared to the natural elements, there's no comparison. Paul said that, it's like comparing Jesus to nothing. Verse 2, he said, for I resolve to know nothing, to be acquainted with nothing, to make a display of the knowledge of nothing, and to be conscious of nothing among you. When we compare Jesus to everything, it's like comparing Jesus to nothing. The problems that you are intensely dealing with, my brother, my sister, the things that are causing you to be overly concerned, when you compare that with the Lord Jesus, again, it's like comparing Jesus to nothing. Are you listening to me? Yeah, I know the doctor's report was what it was. The x-ray, the various tests, that the culture that they took, the biopsy results. I understand what the judge said. but the instructor, the teachers. I realize, yeah, they have concluded with all of their instruments to appropriately diagnose your situation, your circumstance. But when you really adequately put that up next to Jesus, that thing is nothing. The mystery of knowing Jesus and yet the reality of who Jesus is, there's no command. And I realize I know this may seem a little, well, quite abstract, and I want you to think outside of the box, but and the only way we can appropriately value this, we definitely need the Spirit of God. We need the Holy Ghost. Look at what it says in the Amplified, verse 7. But rather that we are setting forth, what we are setting forth is a wisdom of God once hidden from the human understanding and now revealed to us by God. That wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification to lift us into the glory of his presence. So the reality is the mystery of who God is fully appreciated and fully demonstrated as the Lord releases his presence among us. Lord, cause your presence to be released. Cause your glory to be manifested. Cause the fullness of your presence, the Shekinah, the weighty presence of God. Lord, cause the manifestations that unveil your presence to my brother, that unveil your presence to my sister, to be fully communicated tonight, fully communicated now under the sound of my voice. Speak to those that are with us. Paul said here, that wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification to lift us into the glory of his presence. My. This mystery is shrouded from those who don't know God. And then for those that do know God, the mysteries are available to us. But we have to cooperate with God's protocol, God's working procedures, his standard operating procedures, which are supernatural. It's going to be by the Holy Spirit that we're able to appropriate and to perceive Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Us being able to grasp how we're going to go from this point to the next point. How we're going to be able to appreciate the fullness of what this life really is all about. It's going to be found as we appropriate the presence of God. And that is by the grace of God. Look at verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The deep things of God. Those mysteries, sir, are deep. Remember now, you're born again. You have the Spirit of God. You have a renovated heart and spirit. God, Elohim, lives inside of you. If you have not experienced the supernatural yet, my brother, my sister, if there have not been times that you've been overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit in some way, I might question whether you really know God. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. This is what the Amplified says there. Now we have not received the spirit that belongeth to the world, but the Holy Spirit, who is from God, given to us, that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate. That's what I'm asking, and I'm hoping that tonight we can appreciate, appropriately value Jesus, the very essence of who Jesus is, as we compare the Lord tonight, with whatever you're going through. We want you to appropriately value and appreciate. I want you to understand, everything in this natural world appreciates or depreciates in value. You go and you purchase a brand new vehicle, and as you drive away from the parking lot, that brand new vehicle immediately has depreciated. It goes the same with any and all products. However, Jesus himself is always going up, if you will, in value to us. If we are truly coming to a place where the Holy Spirit brings us into the place where we're able to see the Lord. Your place with God now, my brother, where you are in your journey with the Lord, by now Jesus should have appreciated in value. You should not have experienced a place in your walk with God, for Jesus is less than what he was when you got born again. If Jesus to you today is less than what you were when you got born again, something is gravely wrong. That means you've allowed nothing to appreciate in value versus Jesus. You've allowed the essence of nothing to escalate and to grow in value next to Jesus. And something's wrong with that. No, first of all, Jesus himself is the essence of the glory of God. His value cannot be appropriately esteemed. He is the glory. He is the essence of the kingdom. I mean, there is no way to appropriately value the Lord. I mean, the awesomeness of God is just, there's no words to put it into the appropriate value system. Jesus ought to have been increasing in value. Your place in the kingdom, your position as a son, as a daughter, as you have allowed the Holy Spirit to show you Jesus, as you've allowed the Holy Spirit to appropriately esteem the Lord, since you've been born again, Jesus should be greater than what he was. Whether it was 5 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago, you should have now come to the place that you understand that you possess in Jesus by faith the greatest, most valuable treasure that there is. That's if the Holy Spirit. Now, if the pain that you're going through has greater value, if the financial lack has greater value, if the prognosis and the diagnosis of the doctor seems to outweigh who Jesus is, something's wrong. And I realize you might say, well, you just don't understand what I'm going through. I understand that. But what I'm asking you to do is to go and sit before the Lord. Allow the Holy Spirit to help you to reassess Jesus with that what you're going through. Because obviously you have a problem with a mystery. There's something that you've missed, and the mystery that you're faced with has robbed you of the ecstasy that you should be experiencing. As we appropriately value Jesus, which cannot be done without the Holy Spirit, as we are able to access the wisdom of God, we come to a place of ecstasy. We become ecstatic with excitement when we recognize that with Jesus, there's no failure. With Jesus, in Jesus, there's no place of distress. As we, with the help of the Holy Spirit, value that. But we have to be willing to look at verse 13, as we heard to our close. And we are setting these truths forth in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit. So there's a spiritual language that we need to appropriate, access, and garner the very worth of God. Look at verse 13. You see what it says? In the King James, it says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In Amplified, it says, combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit. So the Amplified version says that if we're going to compare spiritual things with spiritual, that there's a language problem that we have to overcome. The mysteries of God are based in code, C-O-D-E. The mysteries of God are founded and based in code language, code messages, as we heard to our close. It's necessary, though, that we compare spiritual things through and by the language of the Spirit. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the Spirit of God, not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The Amplified Version, but the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and the teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are folly, a foolishness, meaningless nonsense, nothing to him. And he is incapable of knowing them, of progressively recognizing, understanding, and becoming better acquainted with them, because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. If I'm going to fully estimate, appreciate, discern, and value Christ Jesus, then I need the help of the Holy Spirit. I cannot do it in my natural strength. I cannot do it in my natural knowledge. I can't just try to figure out Jesus' value by adding one plus one. Because Jesus' value is not always valued that way. Sometimes it is. But we're probably going to have to know by the Spirit some physics, some trigonometry, some geometry, the vastness of who God is and what the universe is based upon all mathematics, not just one perception. I have to be able to value the fullness of who the Lord is by the Creator himself. And that means I got to speak God's language. Turn us again, as we hurry to our close, over to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. Again, as we hurry to our close, as we appropriately value Jesus, and that's shrouded in a mystery. The mystery is found in God's word, of course, which is the language of the Spirit we have in the natural. Your Bible, my brother, your Bible, my sister, is the most mysterious natural element in the earth besides you and I. The most mysterious natural element in the earth besides you and I is found in the 66 books that we call the Holy Bible. At one time, what we call the Holy Bible today was all just verbal communique. It was just a language that was then captured and put on manuscript and scrolls, and you and I today have it in written form. But I want you to understand something. At one point, it was all fully just a mystery. Just a mystery. And then it was decoded by the Holy Spirit with holy men of old as God breathed upon them and the supernatural happened. As the presence of God descended upon them and moved them, that they wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This divine book that we have, the Holy Bible, came into existence through a prophetic move of the Holy Spirit. This, the whole counsel of God, is a book of the prophetic. Remember, the Bible tells us that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. If we're going to adequately testify about Jesus, the Spirit of God is going to be operative and functional. The language expression of bearing witness of Jesus is prophetic in nature. The communication system of the kingdom of God is prophetic in nature. I want you to take a look at an aspect as we hurry to our close here in the 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. As Paul here, inspired by the Holy Spirit, as he wrote to the church at Corinth, he said, "Follow after charity," in verse 1, "and desire spirituals." Now we see the word gifts in the King James is italicized, which means it was added to the manuscript of what was there in the original Greek. It was added in the translation, the word gifts, by the translators. It was not in the original text. So if we read it as it was originally written, it says, "Follow after charity and desire spirituals, but rather that ye may prophesy." Remember, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. If I'm going to know and evaluate, esteem, and fully appreciate the fullness of who Jesus is, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the spirit of prophecy has to be at work. "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue," or you see now the word "unknown" is also italicized, means it was added. So it says, "For he that speaketh in a tongue." Now he's talking about a language, a supernatural language. That's why tongues is fought even in the year 2013. Religious groups and religious people war against tongues because they're trying to appreciate something that only can be appreciated by the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our midst. Religion, based upon the natural realm, cannot fully understand and appreciate and value and discern the fullness of the spirit realm. And therefore, that's why they war against it. "For he that speaketh in a tongue," we're talking about a heavenly language, "speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth." And the word "him" is italicized, meaning it was added. "For no man understandeth, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries." There's that word "mysteries" again. Now God has given us, as we read there in Mark 4 and Matthew 13, that the mysteries of God have been given to us. The very mysteries are shrouded in a language. A communique is coded in a language, a communication from heaven, yet it's by the Holy Spirit, and it's through us, God's children. It's amazing when you pray in tongues, when you speak in tongues, when you cross over into those realms of the prophetic and the supernatural. When you dare call upon God, cry out to God, when you dare praise the Lord, worship God in spirit and truth, when you dare operate and function in the earth and yet in the heavenly realm as a king and a priest, as you draw near to God as a priest of the Most High God, which is a part of your calling, which is a part of the very value that you possess as a believer. You're not just a sinner saved by grace. No, you are a priest. You are part of a holy community, a royal priesthood. You're part of this kingdom community. And the language of the kingdom is supernatural. You and I ought to be functioning, operating in the spirit realm, operating on spiritual technology, which demands that tongues be a part of what we are, who we are. Here in the scripture, it says, howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. He's speaking mysteries. I'm reading from the Amplified Version very quickly. Verse 1, 14th chapter. He says, earnestly, eagerly, eagerly pursue and seek to inquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest to know the love of God. And earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments, the gifts, especially that you may prophesy. And here the Amplified Version says, interpret the divine will and purpose and inspire preaching and teaching. See, the reason why the prognosis and the diagnosis is such a horror and such a terror to you is because you're not appropriately appropriating the divine will in this matter, which is now a mystery to you. However, if you allow the presence of God, if you can access and appropriate the presence of God regarding that, pretty soon that diagnosis or prognosis of what the economic a financial expert has deemed because of your economic state, it will, when you compare it to Jesus, it will end up becoming nothing. And I realize you're not there yet. We're not there yet. When we fully can discern, appreciate, appropriate, and access the very value of who Jesus is, in connection with what we're dealing with in the natural. As soon as we do that, we'll cross over into the supernatural realm, and then we'll be able to recognize and interpret the divine will and the purpose that's already unveiled in the Word of God. For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no man understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the natural understanding. This demands that we know Jesus. That's why Paul even said in Philippians, he said, for I want to know him. Paul came to understand and recognize, even after so many years of ministry, that if he was going to appropriate and fully understand the divine will and purposes of God, he needed a fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit. He needed the Spirit of God to pour out, to manifest and reveal the presence of heaven, so that the mystery that was plaguing him, warring against his mind and his life, the shroud would be taken away. You know, and I go back to this again. When we can get to the place where we look at Jesus and we look at what we call, or what we have discerned to be problems, when we can fully just put them up one to an against each other, what happens is the problems, situations, circumstances, the difficulties, what you're going through, when we put them up against Jesus and fully compare them, the problems become nothing. 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 The mystery about the problem dissolves. In the Greek, the word mystery is the word mysterion. The mysterion disappears. The mystery of whatever you're dealing with, this black hole, this chasm that has separated you from the presence of God, this thing is supposed to dissolve. And I want you to do, I want you to compare the worst thing that you're dealing with the Lord. And I need for you, and until you are able to, as you compare, and that, and you may say, well, I've done that. Well, you need to do it again. If this problem, difficulty, or circumstances is bugging you, that means that you have not appropriately discerned, you have not appropriately evaluated, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, seen the Lord. You have not appropriately, when you have an experience with God because of this comparison, where the Holy Ghost unveils heaven and the reality of who Jesus is to you compared to this problem, when you've had that experience, then the problem becomes nothing. The power of God now invades that situation and dismantles the stress, the fear, the anxiety, because God then would have revealed his love in the process. As we close here tonight, I decree that the banner of God's love is upon you, is over you. I declare the banner of God's love all over your circumstance and situations. I decree the banner of who you are, even as the problems, difficulties, and circumstance war against your natural mind. And as the enemy, Satan and his cohorts, do everything he can to keep you thinking only in the natural realm. As it continues to try to keep you thinking about only your natural resources. Because the devil surely does not want you to evaluate, appropriate, and esteem and discern the resources that you have in heaven, the resources that you have in the kingdom. You have a vast reservoir of resources. The world loves to try to cause you to think only of what you got in the natural. The devil loves to try to keep you thinking only that way, because then that's the only thing that you can see. That's the only thing you can hear. But my brother, my sister, you have an unlimited source in Christ Jesus, the Lord, who has so many resources, so many streams of increase and multiplication available. And if you don't know the Lord tonight, if you're not saved, we just want to agree with you tonight. If you're not born again, if you have not come to submit your life to the very glory of God, the very treasure of the universe and all existence, I'm speaking of Jesus of Nazareth. Tonight I want to introduce the very glory of God to you, the treasure, the hidden treasure. And yet he's the ultimate treasure of all treasures. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the sin bearer. My brother, my sister, if you don't know the Lord, you need Jesus. He's the sin offering. God the Father sold him, sent him into the earth. And the Bible says, John the Baptist said, that Jesus is in the earth to take away the sins of the world. My brother, my sister, if you don't know the Lord, you need Jesus. You need to allow him to take away your sins tonight. And it's based upon you just acknowledging, submitting your life to Jesus. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So my brother, repeat after me, my sister, Jesus, I confess you with my mouth as Lord of my life. Jesus, I yield my life to you. I give my life to you. I subject my life to you. Lord Jesus, I subject my very existence to you. Receive me. I receive you, Jesus. Lord, receive me into your kingdom. Make me one of your children. I receive you, Jesus, as Lord of my life, as King of my life now. Lord, make me yours. I believe that you, Jesus, bore my sins on the cross at Calvary, and that the Father raised you from the dead on the third day. I believe that in my heart, and I say it with my mouth. And according to the Bible, I'm saved. For the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Lord Jesus, I call upon you now. Save me. Save me. I receive you, Jesus, as my Savior. I am now a child of God. For the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah, I'm saved now. Father, I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would fall as a mist, as a cloud upon those that pray with me. Lord, reveal yourself mightily. Cause the glory of God to fall. And for the sake of my brother, my sister, those who know the Lord, Father, I pray, God, that a fresh campaign of heaven would be released into their lives. That you cause us, Father, to know you more than we've ever known you before. Spirit of God, be released now. Father, cause the prophetic grace to be released. Father, I cover everyone in the blood of Christ Jesus, even now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. What a meaty, awesome word from heaven. We just thank you, Apostle, as you truly broke the word down. And I just want to encourage those that have called in and even those that are on the internet. Build yourself up on your most holy faith.
Yes.
In the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Because when you began to do that, Jude 1:20, you began to hear the voice of God.
Yes.
So if you just keep doing it, keep praying and building yourself up in the Holy Ghost, you begin to use your heavenly language. And I'll tell you, he will lead, guide, and direct you.
Yes.
So we are just encouraged tonight, Apostle. You have blessed us as you always do. And those that are on the line, if you have any questions, any comments, I'm going to ask you if you would just, I'm going to open the lines up, and I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you want to say anything, you want to have a, you have a question, or you want to make a comment, the lines are now open, and I'm going to ask you if there's any background sound in your home if you would put your lines out. Amen. Glory to God. So is anyone that have anything that you would like to say? The lines are now open.
Praise God.
Well, amen. We see you there, and we thank God that you called in. We thank God that you received what the Lord would have for you to receive tonight. And, you know, as Apostle was teaching, the Lord just put this song in my spirit about giants in our life. Those giants of unbelief, the giants that appear to block our path or prevent us from moving forward.
Yes.
As we began to know the mind of Christ, knowing the mind of Christ will cause those giants to fall.
Yes,
we can slay the giants in our lives just by getting into the Word, using and praying in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And just pressing in. You know, the giants seem bigger than what they really are.
Because the greater one
lives inside of us. And we just pray that the Holy Spirit, that he move upon everyone on the line, even those that are on the internet, and those that will listen in archives. We just send blessings of revelation to you, that God give you revelation to anything that concern you, that you can hear his voice, and that you would follow his voice, that you would do what he direct you to do, that you would not spend your days going here and there when you should be in one place with Christ. So if there's no other, if there's no comments, no questions, we certainly appreciate you, and we thank God for you that you called in, you stayed on the line, and we know that you were blessed with what God had to say through Apostle Emmons tonight. So, Apostle, I'm going to give you back if you want to have the last words before we bless the people with those giants, the song, them giants, they must come down.
The prophetess, we're so grateful to God for the opportunity to share, and we praise the Lord for being so gracious and kind and helping us to really to take another look at him by the Holy Spirit. And I just trust that as we do that and as we make that a consistent exercise daily, and I believe that the Holy Spirit is in the earth to help us to be able to value and esteem and discern heaven in connection with the earth. And so, prophetess, again, we praise God for you and your husband, Quentin, and for Kingdom Builders. And we just trust that the expansion is indeed happening, especially as the Lord Jesus is given his appropriate place and the mysteries of God are unveiled before us. So, again, I'm so grateful. I do appreciate, this opportunity. We pray God's blessing upon you, woman of God, and this ministry and this outreach, and upon those under the sound of our voices this evening. We trust such a move of God is released. We really do.
Praise God. Well, we certainly receive that word, Apostle, and you know that we love you as well, you, your family. And everything that concerns you concerns us. So we are just honored to have you on the line with us, because we know you know, that God use you and that you live a life, you know, as we watch and we see God's hand upon you. So we want to share the blessing that God have afforded us in our life. And again, we certainly appreciate our listening audience, for you are so
yes.
to come.
Yes, bless
you're,
God.
You're here, you listen, and we pray that your life is being changed because you're not only a hearer of the word, but you are a doer. And I'll
yes,
tell you,
yes.
when you begin to just consume the word and let it become part of you, your
yes.
life will change. Things will change.
Yes. Yes.
So we just bless God that
yes.
you're growing in Christ. And I'll tell
yes,
you,
Lord.
As I spoke about those giants, you know, that song just came in my spirit, that the giants,
yes, Lord.
They're coming down. They're
yes,
coming
they are.
Down. So those things
this
that you've been struggling
forward.
With, they're coming
yes.
down. So
this
as
is the
we
year
play
forward.
This song,
yes.
we want
yes.
you to be blessed with it and receive it
yes.
in your spirit. Just receive
yes,
it and
Lord.
See and see it. Actually see the manifestation
yes.
of those giants.
Yes.
Form.
Lord
and
Jesus.
As you agree
you,
with
Jesus.
It in your spirit, look for the manifestation. Because guess
yes.
what? They are coming down.
And I came to tell you, it's coming
yes.
down. It's coming down. Come on, get up and let's have us do this song right here. Come on, God. Let's sing it like we're back in the 80s.
So just begin to thank God that those giants are coming down. Be encouraged in the Lord, and don't give up the fight. Stay on the wall, and I'll tell you what, you shall see the manifestation of God's glory. So we're going to end the line tonight. Again, we thank you. And on every first and fourth Tuesday, Apostle Emmons is with us. So join in with us every first and fourth Tuesday. At 7 p.m. Central Time, we're here alive in the Lord with Apostle Leonard Emmons the pastor of Living Way Christian Center, 235 West 40th Avenue in the city of Glory of Gary, Indiana. God bless you. Have a wonderful, terrific, awesome time with the Lord. And just know, as you sow into the kingdom, you're sowing into God. God bless you. We love you. And make sure that you make those giants fall. God bless you, and have a blessed evening.